Good evening, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenter for this week, John Bourne. Coming up on the programme this week, I'll be speaking to Janice Hoffmann from Hamburg in Germany, and he'll be telling us about a fascinating tradition for apprentices in Germany called Auf der Walz. We'll be hearing from our Irish MEPs and some of the topics that they have been occupied with recently. We'll have a rundown on some of the stories of European interest that have made the headlines here in Ireland. And we'll have some great music from Portugal and Iceland for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour on your programme, Europe Today. Car safety within the EU is set to move up a gear from July 2022. The European Commission has approved new technologies which will be compulsory in all brand new cars sold within the EU. Some of the measures are optional in new cars at present, but will be compulsory from summer 22. Tim Hayes of the European Commission office in Dublin says the technologies will help to reduce accidents and improve road safety.
The new cars from 2022 will have far more safety features than current vehicles. They will have things like, for example, safety glass in case of a crash. They will have an assistant to make sure you stay in your lane, a reversing camera, improved seat belts, intelligent speed assistance. So all of these things taken together will make driving safer both for drivers and for pedestrians.
Irish people continue to be the most enthusiastic about EU membership. A new Eurobarometer report shows that 63% of Irish people have a positive image of the EU. The EU average is 42%, with the share lowest in Greece and the Czech Republic at 31%. Tim Hayes of the European Commission office in Dublin says Irish people fully understand the benefits of being in the European Union.
When we do this survey throughout the European Union, we discover that Ireland is the highest in the share of people who have a positive image of the EU, and that figures almost two-thirds, 63% in fact, whereas the EU average is about 40%.
Changes are on the way across Europe later this year that will give consumers better information when buying a mobile phone or internet package. They'll be offered clearer written comparisons on internet speeds, call costs and termination conditions before signing on the dotted line. Grace Bolton of the European Commission office in Dublin says the new measures will be a win-win for buyers.
Later in 2020, a new summary template will be introduced which will enable consumers to compare the internet speed, price and duration of the contract and the renewal and termination terms when they're buying a mobile phone or internet service contract. This will enable them to make accurate comparisons and choose the best mobile phone or internet package for their needs.
The ongoing controversy over the murder of an investigative journalist in Malta is a reminder of what happened to Irish journalist Veronica Guerin. So says the Fine Gael MEP Frances Fitzgerald. She was referring to the death of Daphne Kalitze, who was blown up in a car bomb in 2017. The mother of three was investigating alleged corruption within the Maltese government at the time of her death. The European Parliament recently demanded the immediate resignation of Malta's Prime Minister, Joseph Muscat. MEPs warned that as long as Mr. Muscat remained in power, there was a real risk of ongoing investigations into the journalist's death being compromised.
I think of Veronica Guerin being shot by, you know, criminal elements when I hear about the situation in Malta and the terrible trauma for the family with, you know, three young sons and her husband and, you know, an appalling crime committed against her. And then you begin to see the situation in Malta where there has been a very slow engagement by the government in really getting to the bottom of what has happened. Now it's accelerated and the Parliament has expressed its real concern about the rule of law, about the investigation, about the slowness of it.
Over 20,000 men and women and children were victims of trafficking in the European Union, according to recent figures from EU member states, with 137 of them brought into Ireland. Over 68% of the total recorded were women and girls. The majority were trafficked for sexual exploitation. Grace Bolton of the EU Commission office in Dublin says the official figure for Ireland may only be the tip of the iceberg.
Recent EU figures on human trafficking indicate that 137 victims were brought into Ireland. However, the real figure is likely to be much higher as many victims remain undetected. Across Europe, of these, two-thirds are women and girls, while almost a quarter are children.
Women continue to lag behind men when it comes to participation in the EU digital economy. New figures show that France, Sweden and Luxembourg have the highest female participation in digital activity. 19% of Irish women work in the digital economy, which is above the EU average of 16.7%, putting us ahead of countries like Germany and Italy. Grace Bolton of the EU Commission Office in Ireland says Irish women are performing well, but still lag behind the UK and Nordic countries.
The Women in Digital Scoreboard assesses women's inclusion in digital jobs, careers and entrepreneurship. Ireland is above the EU average, ranking 12 out of 28, but behind countries like Finland, Sweden and the Netherlands in terms of use of internet and skills relating to the use of the internet.
The European Commission wants to ensure that all vehicles are fitted with the latest. The European Commission wants to ensure that all vehicles are fitted with the latest technological safety features. The Commission has proposed that cars, trucks and buses be equipped with advanced safety features such as sensors to alert drivers to pedestrians, cyclists and oncoming vehicles. It is also seeking to provide financial assistance to member states to remedy accident black spots in order to make roads safer. Grace Bolton of the EU Commission Office in Ireland says that the Commission wants to extend the use of innovative safety features which are currently only available to certain consumers.
The Commission is proposing that cars, trucks and buses be equipped with new and advanced safety features such as emergency braking, intelligent speed assistance and enhanced pedestrian and cyclist protection. These features are already available in some cars, but the Commission wants them available in all vehicles.
There was good news recently for people who shop online. The European Commission's rule to prevent unjustified internet geo-blocking took effect recently. This means that Irish people can buy products from websites based in other EU member states without being redirected to an Irish specific version of that website that often had higher prices. It should also be possible to have goods delivered to Ireland and to pay with an Irish credit or debit card. Grace Bolton of the EU Commission Office in Ireland says this development will give more choice to consumers and opens new markets to retailers.
From this week, with the lifting of geo-blocking, consumers who wish to buy products from other EU countries can do so without being redirected back to an Irish-specific website. And in previous times, they could be blocked from buying if they didn't have a credit card from that country. This can no longer be done by the companies concerned.
Os motores e as buzinas, as intrigas, a meninas, falem baixo que o fado vai cantar. E quando o fado canta, quer alguém para o escutar. Parem as campanhas e as listas, os talheres dos turistas, falem baixo que o fado vai cantar. E quando o fado canta, quer alguém para o escutar. Vestido de magala, nem um ai, há silêncio na sala. E se vem, deixai-lhe bem comprido, só tira na pressa do corrido. Solta a língua, aquece o corpo em brasa, faz do botequim a sua casa. Quando se apaixona é perdição, cresce em triplicado coração. Parem manifestos e tambores, que esperem urgências e favores. Muita calma, que o fado vai passar. E quando o fado passa, quer alguém para o olhar. Parem os piropos e as obras e as queixas das más sogras. Haja alma, que o fado vai passar. E quando o fado passa, quer alguém para o olhar. Vestido de magala, nem um ai, há silêncio na sala. E se vem, deixai-lhe bem comprido, só tira na pressa do corrido. Solta a língua, aquece o corpo em brasa, faz do botequim a sua casa. Quando se apaixona é perdição, cresce em triplicado coração. na sala e se vai, deixá-lo bem comprido. Só tira na pressa do corrido. Solta a língua, aquece o corpo, em brasa faz o botequim a sua casa. Quando se apaixona é perdição, cresce em triplicado coração.
Recently, the fifth EU-Ukraine Association Council was held in Brussels. Ukraine has assured the European Union that the martial law imposed after the Kerch Strait incident would soon expire without affecting the upcoming elections. Federica Mogherini, foreign policy chief, pointed out that she had also discussed the issue of municipal elections in Ukraine with Ukrainian Prime Minister Groysman, adding that the voting should be held despite the martial law.
Let me start by saying once again very clearly how much we value our relation with Ukraine and how much we support Ukraine also in its reform drive, as reflected in the new financing agreement that were signed this morning before we started our Association Council. Our meeting took place this morning against the background of an escalation around the Kerch Strait. And this is the first issue that brings us together and the first issue that Prime Minister and myself discussed this morning. European Union has been united and firm in saying from the very beginning that there is no justification for the use of military force by Russia against Ukrainian vessels, and that all detained Ukrainian seamen, as well as vessels seized, need to be released. Free passage of ships through the Kerch Strait needs to be ensured in accordance with international law. This has been and continues to be our very firm and clear united position from the European Union side, as reconfirmed by the heads of state and government of the 28 member states just last Thursday. As far as we are concerned, we're looking into how we can further support now the Ukrainian regions that are affected by the escalation in the Azov Sea, including through the 50 million euro program we have recently launched for the east of Ukraine, and through other initiatives also in cooperation with the European Investment Bank. Let me stress that the European Union continues to support 100% Ukraine's independence, sovereignty, and territorial integrity within its internationally recognized borders, and underline the need for a complete implementation of the Minsk agreements. We also continue and will continue to provide humanitarian aid to help the civilian population in the east of Ukraine. Just last Thursday, an additional 4 million euros were allocated for this purpose. Let me restate here once again what I mentioned once again to the Prime Minister today, but certain things need to be mentioned again and again. We will not recognize the illegal annexation of Crimea and Sebastopol by Russia, and we have condemned the ongoing militarization of the Crimean Peninsula. We keep calling for the immediate release of all Ukrainian citizens detained illegally in the Crimean Peninsula and in Russia, including Olev Sentsov, who has just been awarded the Sakharov Prize last week by the European Parliament. The European Union continues to be consistently at the side of the Ukrainian people, and we will continue to do so.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
The German tradition of the journeyman brotherhood is centuries old, originating in the craftsman's guilds of Europe during the Middle Ages, and it is still practiced today. In the past, every young craftsperson who aspired to be a master was, following his apprenticeship, required to leave home and not return for 3 years and a day. They had to stay at least 50 kilometres away, but the journeys of the more adventurous candidates involved crossing oceans and continents. Recently, Europe Today chanced upon a stranger from Germany who passed through Dublin City. Janus is a journeyman carpenter who has completed his apprenticeship at home in Hamburg, Germany, and is now auf der Welt, on the road. Janus, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today. Janus, perhaps you can tell us a little bit about, first of all, this tradition of auf der
Auf der Walz.
Auf der Walz. And so maybe you can tell us a little bit about how this all works.
You know, if you finish your apprentice in Germany as a craftsman,
okay,
it doesn't matter what you are, if you're a roofer or joiner, carpenter, okay, hairdresser, yep, you can decide either to start working,
yep,
or to start a journey for 3 years and one day. The idea of the whole thing is to go out into Europe and the world and to, yeah, collect, yeah, some experiences, yeah, in your trade, and to come back home after 3 years as a well-experienced,
yeah,
for example, carpenter, and get to know new people and new cultures and learn how they build houses in other countries.
Yeah, yeah.
And in medieval, it was necessary to become a master, to be able to lead other people.
Yeah.
And I think nowadays it's just a free decision to do it, but it's nice to keep this tradition alive. And there are not too much people around doing this. They guess that we're around about 800 or 900 people,
yeah,
in the world.
As far as I know, it's done through an organization, is that right? There's an organization that...
Yeah, not a common organization. It's it splits into different, what can I say? I think organization is the wrong word. It's smaller than that.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Some kind,
yeah,
of...
it's like a guild or something,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
that. Yeah, like,
guild, yeah, might, yeah, be, yeah, the right, yeah, word, yeah.
So when you finish your apprenticeship, you basically, do you have to approach the guild and tell them that you're interested in taking this journey? Or how does that...
There are many different ways.
Okay.
Right.
So what was the way you decided?
I'm a little bit out of competition for these guys.
Okay.
I'm... in Germany, we call it Wildreisend.
Okay.
That means that we're... guys like me, we're not part of these guilds.
Okay.
We do it just our own way.
Okay, and, right.
But I mean, in the medieval, it was just... people started this thing because there was not enough work for the whole family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so they just sent the children away from,
yeah,
home,
yeah, yeah,
so they could try to find some work in other countries.
Well, I presume the idea is, though, that as you go back, after the 3 years, you go back with the accreditation of having done this particular journey. I,
yeah,
presume that's the idea. And it gives you a slightly higher quality to your work than somebody who hasn't done it, or does it really make any difference?
It's in my experience, there are many very interesting jobs on this journey.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
That I would have haven't got when I would have stayed at home.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I was building Viking ships in Norway,
right, okay,
and building furniture out of old wooden beams out of the barn.
Right. Okay.
And this is something you're not really doing when you're employed.
Yeah. And I thought the way I read it was that I thought there was the organization was based in Germany, and then they have a list of companies throughout the world that would be familiar with the tradition,
mm-hmm,
and they can help you find employment in the particular country that you've come to. But you haven't utilized that.
At least I don't know about it.
Okay.
I don't
maybe
think
I'm
so
wrong,
that there's
maybe
a
I'm wrong, yeah,
there's a list of
yeah, okay,
companies,
yeah,
that are part of it. But at least in Germany, everybody knows about it.
Right. Yeah.
So,
now we have to emphasize that Yanis is dressed in traditional clothing. And again, for this is radio, obviously, so they can't see. So perhaps you can tell us a little bit about
the
whole idea of the clothing and why you wear the traditional clothing.
You
how
know,
do you make a decision for your clothing as well?
Yeah, it's some kind of a medieval carpenter's,
right, okay,
woodworking,
yeah,
clothing,
yeah,
and everything about it has a tradition. You know, there's what do you call this?
Buttons, yeah, yeah.
Buttons,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have six buttons at the on my jacket. That means 6 days a week,
okay,
of work.
Very good.
I have 8 buttons on my waist.
Okay.
Beneath,
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
That means 8 hours a day.
Okay.
And
so a lot of significance even just to the and the hat. I think everybody has to wear the hat. They have some sort of a hat they have to wear.
Stands,
yeah,
for freedom. No,
okay.
If you finish your apprentice, you wear the hat, and
okay,
you're a free man. You can,
right,
do whatever,
okay,
you want.
Right.
except of course you have to follow some rules and behave in a good way. And
right, okay.
I mean, the only thing that people like I have is a good reputation.
Yeah.
Everyone has to behave in a good way and
okay.
has to be brave
yeah.
and
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that means that I shouldn't do anything wrong. I shouldn't
right.
cheat
yeah.
at anyone.
Yeah.
And because the next people like me will join this construction site and they have to
yeah. Yeah.
lean on my reputation.
On your reputation, exactly.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Almost like the Sikhs in Kashmir, the way they have their clothing. They wear the turban and they wear little silver bracelets and all sorts of things as well to have that tradition that people will know that they are very upstanding character, that they
yeah.
have a very good character. So
yeah.
this is, again, just a sort of a demonstration of the fact that you're committed
yeah.
to your apprenticeship
yeah.
and also committed to the tradition as well. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're in Dublin at the moment, Janice, and
yeah.
how long will you be here?
Two more days.
Okay, fantastic. Well, I caught you at the right time, so fantastic. And where to next?
That's a good question. I have decided, you know, usually we're not allowed to spend money for accommodation and
okay.
traveling.
Yeah.
But I met a friend of mine and we're here together and she's going to the airport tomorrow in 2 days. That means that I will join her and I will ask the what do you call her, the girl at the airport
okay.
Who is working there, what is the cheapest flight inside of Europe. And
this is in Dublin airport. She's just going to go to Dublin airport and say, where's the cheapest flight, and I'll go there.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Maybe.
Okay, yeah.
Depending on what it is.
Okay.
I would
yeah.
like to go more south. You know, we used to follow the weather.
Right, okay.
If it gets
yeah.
cold, of course, we go more south, like in France, Morocco, and Spain, and
okay.
if it gets cold, we're going to Norway and
okay.
Ireland.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
The thing is, we're just allowed to wear those clothes, and
okay.
it's too cold in the winter and too hot in the summer.
And can you sort of go back to Germany and skip back out and go home and come back again, or do you have to stay out of the country?
I could, because I'm not fixed to these guilds
right,
rules.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But usually,
but if you were, but if you did decide to go through the guild,
yeah.
You
wouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, yeah, right.
They need to stay away from home. Of there's a diameter
right.
of 50 kilometers,
right. okay.
around the hometown,
right.
and they're not allowed to get into this diameter.
Okay.
And they can go there after 3 years and one day.
Okay.
But
and will you still get an accreditation from? Will your journey be recognised by the employers in Germany when you go back to say that you've done it, even though you've done it outside the guild? Or how does that? Would that be?
There's a difference. If
yeah.
you're inside of the guild,
right.
you have a book, and
right, okay.
All these employees that you work for, they were. Sign your book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can go to the what is it called? Bürgermeister.
Right. Okay. Yeah. The mayor. Yeah.
The mayor.
Yeah, yeah.
And he will sign that book. And so after these 3 years, you have, I don't know, four or five books.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
of
yeah,
all
yeah,
the
yeah.
the places you've been and
right,
all the
okay.
people you work
yeah.
for. And but I do not have one of those books.
Okay.
This is one of the disadvantages if you're not inside of the guild.
The guild, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You don't have the securities, you don't have
right,
the background
okay.
and these
yeah,
books.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
But on the other hand, you have the freedom to not
can,
be fixed
yeah,
on the
yeah,
rules
yeah,
of this
yeah,
guild.
Yeah, okay, fantastic, okay. And maybe you can keep us posted as you go through your journey. Maybe we can get in contact with you from the different countries that you're in, and you can tell us what's happening. If you go to, if you're in Reykjavik or somewhere, maybe you can tell us how somebody who is auf der Welt is getting on, and maybe you tell us a little bit more about your journey. Janice, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to me, and good luck with everything. Yeah,
thanks for having me.
Oh,
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, a very special thank you to Janice Oppermann from Hamburg, Germany for his participation in this week's programme. If you want to get in touch with us, give us a ring on 865 8020. That's 865 8020. You can text us on 087 977 1032. And don't forget to check out our support website platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and with some links to the items that we spoke about as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week for your programme Europe Today.